Blog Talk Radio.
If I go away, you may have to carry it.
Studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
I think we're here. I love Windows. Anyways, it's a Thursday morning right here, broadcasting live from downtown Eugene and Cottage Grove, thanks to the wonders of the internet. And as I'm talking to myself, because my co-host is busy talking in the background, because we're live on the air, Cliff.
Well, I'm not busy talking in the background. Can you hear me or not?
I can hear you, along with a bunch of things.
Along with what? Well, the problem is you're hearing a lot of noise because Candy's in the background doing things. She decided to get up this morning. But normally it's quiet.
Well, I have got some pretty good music in the background.
You got some music in the background? Oh, well, maybe that's okay. Let's see here. I didn't know. Okay. There we go. How's that? I didn't realize I was playing music.
Exactly. Welcome to live radio, everybody.
Yeah. Well, see, and this is weird radio because I can hear Robin, but I can't hear me or anything that I do. So this is different. But if I plug it into a plug where I can hear all the stuff that I do, then I can't hear Robin. So whatever.
It has their advantages, I guess.
Yeah, we're still working all of this out. There's got to be a way to put all this together somewhere. I need to get a mixer for my headphones, I guess.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
We're off to a rough start, but
all I need is more pieces laying around here, more electronics.
More electronics.
That'll help.
I need pieces to pieces.
Just a little upside here. We've been working on how to make things work all morning. We've been working for an hour trying to figure out how to get things to work the way we want to. And we almost are there, but we didn't quite make it. But we're too late. We're here. We got to go.
That's right.
You got to go.
And my theory is regarding computers, that's why most programmers are bald.
Yeah.
You know, for the show,
I'm only half bald.
Yeah, I'm using Firefox, and all of a sudden I get the triangle of the hourglass of death.
So,
fortunately,
really?
I'm smart enough that I got a pretty good studio setup here on my end, and so I do some things on one computer, like Skype and whatnot. I do have the controls for the show on another separate computer. So redundancy is good. But anyways, enough of our problems.
I've got one for you. This is from the Cliff Wilson Little Known Fact of Great Unimportance.
Okay.
The shortest war on record was between Britain and Zanzibar in 1896, and it lasted just 38 minutes.
Really?
That's important stuff. I'm going to put together the whole thing, and I'm going to start doing Cliff Wilson's little-known fact of great unimportance. So that's the first one.
Great unimportance. You need to bring your audio up just a little bit, Cliff.
Okay. I can do that. Am I back? Okay.
You are back.
Okay.
Do not move away from the microphone.
Well, yeah, I know. See, I've been using a headset all this time up until now, and I could move anywhere I wanted to, and it was no big thing because the headset went with me. But the microphone doesn't now, so I got to remember that. Again,
it's like the old days, you know. You got to sit there and talk to your friend.
Well, the old days, I've got to get one of those boom mics and something, because I could grab the mic and bring it with me. This way I can't. If I grab the mic and bring it with me, it'll all fall apart and end up on the table. So, it's great fun working all this out. There is a point where working at a radio station and letting them buy these I was going to say props, but pieces, because those boom microphone things are like $150, and I'm poor.
Yeah, and speaking of poor,
I don't want to speak of it.
People that have read the following us on Facebook are on the Blog Talk Radio Show page. There are some changes coming down the pike. I got a notification from Blog Talk Radio yesterday that we are currently under the free account. And in fact, I was told a couple of weeks ago, actually, when I inquired, that we were grandfathered in because we've been with Blog Talk Radio for over a year now. But according to the announcement that I just got, some of the changes are is that they are going to cut back on the free shows. And one of the changes that they want to do is they want to cut us back from 60 minutes to 30-minute time limit.
So our grandfather status only lasted until February.
Yeah, I think our grandfather died.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, because they, and understandably so. I mean, Blog Talk Radio, to give them credit, they've done amazing for, you know, coming up with just an idea. If you read about Blog Talk Radio's history, just from having an idea to what it's become, you know, and it costs some money to do this, and advertisers supporting, you know, doesn't, well, for what they're doing, it costs a lot of money. So I can understand them wanting to upgrade everybody to the premium accounts, which start at $40 a month. All right, well, okay, for both Cliff and I, because Cliff's on a fixed income and I'm, you know, making about $12 an hour, $40 a month is really quite a bit of money for both of us. And
I just got a notice yesterday from my fixed folks that my income is not going up this year either. Usually I get a few paltry, measly cents extra every year, but for the last two or three years, they haven't bothered doing that.
Well, anyways, you know, so this has been fun to do. It's been a fun hobby, and we've been it's kind of sad in a way because things are really starting to come out for us. I mean, our listenership, looking at the people that listen to the archives, I mean, the numbers are all I can say is, oh my God, thank you. You know, it's really encouraging. It's growing exponentially. We would like to see some people click on the like button for the Facebook. And if you're a Blog Talk Radio, have an account, we'd love to have you join our friends list and just others to just kind of show us, you know, that it's encouragement to maybe come up with the money to pay them. I mean, we do have we also have up in St. Helens, the owner there of KOHI has offered to rebroadcast some of our shows if he can squeeze it in. So we're doing something right. But like I say, $40 a month is when you're on a limited income, and we don't get any money coming off of this, so it's all an out, though. So
we might try to figure out how to do it on our Blog Talk Radio program, our own website. We have krbnradio.com is our own website, and we have full control over that if we can figure out how to blog talk that. But then, and if we do that, we'll let everybody know so we can have you switch over. People, I guess, are listening through that anyway, and maybe we can come up with some way to do it there.
So
I don't know how we'd come up with the switchboard, but we'll work on that.
We'll work on that. And we got there's hosting services that we're looking at too. But ideally, we'd like to stay with Blog Talk because it's really nice. Let me put it that way.
Oh, but, it has its problems.
Yeah, it does. Well,
it has its problems.
Yeah. But that's part of the fun of doing a live show. But anyway, speaking of live show, if somebody wants to join our live show, 646-721-9887. The chat room is open. Again, you can send us an email at talk@krbnradio.com and visit us on our website at krbnradio.com. And, of course, we have Twitter and Facebook and any other social network, I can go ahead and pull my hair out over trying to set up.
Well, the nice thing about KRBNradio.com is you can actually listen to us there, too. You can, because we have the blog talk, what do they call it, widget or something on there.
It's
so
a
you
widget.
Can listen to it live. Yeah. And so for a while, anyway, that's going to happen. You know, I have to say, you know, I don't know what we're going to talk about the Obama or not today, but I want to say one thing. I'm kind of enheartened because Obama is standing up to his own party. I think Obama has been being told what to do for the entire first 2 years he's been there and had no choice but do it because he wouldn't get anywhere if he, like they said. But now he does have an alternative. He has a few Republicans and Tea Party folks in.
And
I think that's what we heard this last week of him talking. This is his own opinion, and of course, some of the original diehard Democrats are vehemently opposed. I guess that would be the word. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Well, and kind of along that line, that is one of the two things. But let me summarize what we got on the show today, and. Unfortunately, sometimes we come up with the topics at the last minute, which is kind of bad since I work. But you know, we're going to talk about the Senate and the START nuclear treaty and the 2,000-page, $1.1 trillion omnibus bill. And later on the show, in the second half, Ashlyn does it again regarding Christmas. But for the moment,
Ashlyn does it again.
Yeah.
That's an interesting town because I assume because of the college that's there, they must advertise for unusual students.
Well, at least they're all in one place and moving out of Eugene. No, we still got Eugene here. But anyways, one of the things kind of interesting about the Omni stimulus package, as news has been coming out about it, as people remember that. Over the Obama health care, Congress was giving a little bit of homework, which was like to read the bill. But they figured, you know, that why read the bill? It's 2,000 pages. And Nancy Pelosi says, you know, we have to read the bill we have to pass the bill in order to know what's in it. Now we spend half the time trying to figure out, now that we know what's in the bill and all the little things that are coming out, like the having to file a 1099 for any purchases over $600, that with this 2,000-page, actually the 1,900 and some odd pages, that they want to get passed before the Christmas break. In fact, President Obama says that he will not go on his next vacation to Hawaii until it's been passed, that one of the senators, Jim DeMint, of South Carolina, says he's going to force the Senate to read the START package and the 2,000-page stimulus package before it's voted on. I think if it's possible, it should be a requirement that for anybody to be eligible to vote on it should have to sit there and listen to it.
Why should they do that now? They've never read the book. I think this first 2,000-page bill that we're talking about not reading before is not the first one. I don't think they've read much of anything. I'm really, you know, this morning, as a matter of fact, I heard on the television that confidence in the Congress is down at 15%, the lowest, or 13%. It's the lowest it's ever been. And maybe people are trying to register the fact that, you know, people are really, really mad because we voted in, had an election, voted in lots of new people, and they're all still ignoring us. Now, granted, the new people can't do anything, to be honest with you, because they haven't taken office yet officially. But it's really bad when nothing changes. You have an election and vote 40 new people into the House, and still nothing changes.
Well, yeah, the only thing that they've been doing is that, well, us Democrats need to kind of set up an alliance between you Republicans, and that's what the people are wanting is a truce between the houses, it's like, no, that's not what it is, guys. It's not. Most people don't care if it's Republican or Democrat. That's really not that important. It's the fact that, you know, quit fighting amongst yourselves and get down to business of running the country like
yeah,
you're supposed
to. We don't care if you get along or not. Just would just like you to do your job.
Precisely. That's why we
elect. Something that, well, yeah, really.
Yeah.
Especially in this election, I'm quite sure that this election was a very determined thing. I mean, it wasn't just somebody out there, well, nobody else to vote for, I'll just vote for them. We had a turnaround here, and this was a deliberate thing for a change. So this is proving that the American public is actually paying attention, and they don't like what they're hearing.
No, and especially what, if, you know, I'm a talk show nut, but what people are calling in and saying, and what they're saying even in the comments in the newspapers, is, you know, we're not going to do the same thing that, or we don't want you guys to do the same thing you've always done in the past. It's like, we'll just go ahead and say a few things, we'll get ourselves elected, and then we'll go back to business as usual.
Which is spending a lot of time raising money and spending a lot of time getting money for your own state, the hell with the rest of the world. And this has got to change sooner or later. And I'm hoping that if this doesn't change in this 2 years, a radical change, that in the next 2 years, the next election, we change everybody.
Exactly. Well, that's kind of what we're hoping to do this last election. But at least on the good news side, is some things are changing. For example, I can't remember if it's the Supreme Court or which court it was, said that some of the provisions in the Obamacare, one of them forcing the public to buy a Congress, is unconstitutional. So that's a win for our side. Of course, the White House plans to appeal that decision.
Well, I think it's a kind of a moot point, because I think in the next year we're going to repeal that whole resolution, that whole bill.
I think so, too.
It's just too ridiculous. It's too long to read and too much to understand, and we're finding out there's a whole lot of things hidden in there, and I'm not talking about earmarks or anything, just junk that they've stuck in there that we didn't know about because nobody read it, and it's just, we've got to get rid of it.
Yeah.
It's just all that's to it.
And that thinking of hiding stuff has got to change. You know, they talk about, but I haven't heard this in a long time, about the line item veto. I wonder if that would
help. I don't think that would help, because Obama's the one who put it in there, and he's the one who has the veto. So that doesn't accomplish anything in this particular case. I believe that every individual thing that has to go, every individual bit of money you want to spend, you have to put it in a bill, and you have to make it separate. So we're going to have a lot of people not spending as much money because they're not going to want to make up that many bills, because you probably have 600 things hidden in this bill that we're talking about today.
Exactly.
$360 or $380 or something like that, $1 billion worth of stuff. And they keep saying, you know, in the overall scheme of things, that's no big thing, because we're talking about a $1 trillion bill. This, you know, it's a matter of just a few percent. I don't care. I don't want it hidden. I want to know what's going on.
If a few percent's no big deal, give me one.
Yeah.
Just give
me
1%. I'll pay the taxes on it.
Well, yeah, anything.
Yeah. But now people are getting really fed up. In fact, one thing that'd be kind of interesting, because it's, 2014 is when the Obamacare was to go into full effect, that, like Cliff and I's situation, like I say, we're not wealthy, we're kind of poor, and we just struggled. For the first time since I've owned this house, which I've owned it since 1990, I didn't have the money to pay property taxes. We finally got them paid. I mean, we scrounged everything to get them paid. And now, you know, we're counting on our income tax return to set aside for next year's property tax. Well, that theory isn't going to work in a couple of years, because we can't afford health care, and so we'd have to pay a penalty for not having health care, and there goes my refund.
Well, not only that, as time goes by, your income goes down too, because getting a decent job is harder and harder to do.
Exactly.
So it's just everything is falling apart. But it's all going to change in the next 2 years, I think, because, first of all, like I said, I think we're going to see a lot more out of Obama than we have in the past, a lot more original thinking that actually gets out to the public. And then if we don't, we're not going to see Obama. So we'll have somebody else.
Well, and
of course, I'm a little scary about it. There's only one person I want in there. And
you?
Cliff
the president?
Yeah.
2012, no. Folks. Cliff the president. You heard it right here first on KRBN, Internet News Talk Radio.
You know, to be honest with you, there is no way in hell I want to work that hard, period. I'm kind of happy being retired. It's kind of neat.
You go get elected to Congress, you collect $150,000 a year, and sometimes you have to show up.
Yeah, sometimes. No, I want Newt Gingrich. I hope he runs, and I will vote for him. And that's because, you know, if you look back over the years, whether you like Republicans or Democrats, when the Democrats were in office, Clinton specifically, and all of this changes made, and we supposedly had a surplus instead of oozing money everywhere, he was the one responsible for it, not Clinton. And I think he's the one person who actually makes the most sense about the most things. Him and Ron Paul, and I don't think Ron Paul's going to do to get it. So Newt Gingrich might be the one.
Yeah, vote for the Newt.
Yes, I'm for it. I'm for it. But and he hasn't even decided to run yet, so I'm quite positive he will, but he hasn't ultimately said anything at this particular point.
Well, you've got his private number, don't you?
Yeah, no. No, as a matter of fact, I mean, you can see that's the thing now. From what I understand, you can like tweet people or things like that, and somebody's watching that all the time. Somebody, and that's one of the things that they're paying a staff member for. I think
that's
to sit there and watch the tweets.
It's been from Twitter.
Yeah, they keep talking about that. I know the news companies do.
Some twit.
I think you, Well, I was thinking about that. I don't know where to go to tweet him. I got to get on there and find out. I guess you just put in his name or something. I'll have to go play around with that. But I've got lots of ideas that I could put forth. I don't know if I can do them in 160 characters or not, but
140, I think.
140.
But anyways, I want to get back real quick to that. To that bill that they're talking about, because I was out wandering around the other day, and I do that sometimes with my recorder, and I came across a very interesting conversation that I recorded, and I wanted to kind of play the audio for that one.
Children, all right, kids, come on, calm down now, come on, calm down, we got a big day ahead of us. Okay, kids. I'm assuming that everybody has done their homework and is ready to take the test.
Teacher?
Yes, John Carver.
I did not do my homework.
Why?
Because the assignment is over 2,000 pages, and you don't have 2 days and 2 lawyers to find out what it really means.
All right, then. Your parents have been calling me complaining that you do not understand your homework before taking a test. So to remedy this, I'm going to read to the class all 2,000 pages before we go home today.
This is putting a new low in political stunts ahead of our national security, and it's exactly the kind of Washington game playing that the American people are sick of.
White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs, what are you doing here in our classroom?
I want to listen and hear him or hear somebody read 2,000 pages in one day.
Yeah, no kidding.
Out loud, anyway. You might be able to skim through it and get the basics out of it if you were reading it to yourself, but I don't know. Even that's hard. I know people who read a lot of books, and 2,000 pages would take a week.
Yeah, they're saying that it's, in fact, Robert Gibbs, he commented on that on C-SPAN 3. I got a quick audio for that one, too. Yep. Click on the right button.
Young Bus, I'm told, is 1,924 pages. Do you worry that that could gum up things a bit?
No, I just think it means a lot of people will be up late reading between now and, say, the 22nd or 23rd.
And who's going to read that?
I noticed during the healthcare debate that was a big thing, and I assume many members up on Capitol Hill are.
You really?
I take them at their word. I take them at their word.
He takes them at their word.
You're the only one. You're the only one. I wouldn't take them at their word.
Yeah.
Because I don't think their word is worth much at this particular point. And as a fact, the public has needed the latest poll. It's only 13% of the people thought their word was worth anything.
Exactly. In fact, even he was kind of you could tell in his voice. It's like, well, I'm hoping we can take it at their word.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
He knows better. He knows better. And the thing is, what I'm thinking is that this is not something that's just now happening. This is what's been going on for years and years and years, and we haven't paid any attention. But now things are coming to a head, and we're upset about it, and that's why we had this election and elected altogether about some 60-some-odd people, and that's a lot of change, but not enough, obviously. Of course, I will have to say again, we don't know until the first of the year what's going to happen.
Well, the pressure's on.
It is, and I hope these 60-some-odd people that were elected this time are going to take it to heart and pay attention to the fact that the public right now is telling you that you'd better do it. You better do what you were elected for, or we're liable to get really upset and we're liable to have a revolution.
That's right. You remember what happened when Ross Perot got involved. I mean, he actually got people riled up, and it scared him.
Well, yeah, not enough.
Not enough, but because he, a whole bunch of things. I won't get into it, but the thing is, it's like the old saying, you know, don't wake the dragons, but, you know, for a long
time. The one thing, going back to Ross Perot for a second, okay. I wanted to say, because the one thing that shows you, if you get a whole bunch of people riled up or whatever and get them to do something, that's fine. But you can't buy an election, and that's what Ross Perot tried to do.
Exactly.
And it's good to know that you can't.
Well, yeah, exactly. In fact, the thing that I think that, besides the fact he claims that, I think it was his daughter that got threatened, but then he hired a regular political consultant or campaign manager and who tried to run the campaign the way they always do it. But that was one of the things that we wanted, was somebody that, first of all, was a billionaire that couldn't be bought,
mm-hmm.
and who ran a company successfully,
mm-hmm.
and got out there and said that, you guys are just as important too. You know, you're an ROAD scholar, Rhodes Scholar. You know, and got people riled up. That's what the Tea Party kind of is, and that's why they've been trying to, and they're still trying to put the Tea Party down. You know, that they're a bunch of murderers and child rapists. And
the difference between him and the Tea Party is the Tea Party has a whole bunch of people working on this. It's not just one person buying an election, and so it's going to make a whole lot of difference. But if you're going to enter into a race, you better be prepared, because you know good and well that your family is going to be attacked, and at least verbally. So.
Exactly. And people aren't really going to – well, people are starting to care, but to be honest, and I feel bad in saying this, but to be honest, the only way people are really going to get riled up is if it affects their sports. Like, for example – no, seriously – like, for example, in Eugene, they're thinking about a sales tax or an income tax to fund schools that, you know, again, it's schools, you know. I still say one word, audit. But if they put a tax on the Ducks game, for example, because of the amount of revenue that brings in, I bet you people will be so mad. Don't you dare touch our sports.
Of course, it depends on how much, because, well, how much are Ducks tickets nowadays? They're hundreds of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
They might not notice the difference. You could put a 1% tax on a Ducks ticket, and they'd never even notice.
Yeah, just put feathers on it, and they'll be glad. Anyways, we're halfway through the show. 646-721-9887 if you'd like to chime in on this and any other topic, we'd love to have you.
And give us any kind of information, just anything you want to tell us, you know, whether you like it, don't like it, anything. We're ready to hear.
And if you're listening to something on the news and it just makes smoke come out of your ears, send us an email. We'll look at it and maybe offer it up as a show topic and, you know, send us a comment, too. We'll read it over the air, and we promise we won't spam you.
Well, if you send us an email, because smoke is coming out your ears and you're that upset about something, email us, that's fine, and then call us, and we will talk about whatever you want to talk about when you call, period. We don't say no.
Well, it depends. If it's talk about dirty diapers, I'm going to say no, sorry.
Well, not necessarily. Maybe there's something about dirty diapers that's of interest. I have a dirty diaper story, but I'm not going to tell it.
Thank you.
The next door neighbor's little kid had dirty diapers, and the guy picked him up and noticed it, but he didn't do anything about it. So the next thing he knew, the little kid came out carrying his dirty diaper, and he had to do something about it.
Moving right along, I want to get into the thing with the politically correct crowd.
Doesn't talk about dirty diapers. I know.
Yeah. Ashland School District's one of the first ones, I think they're the first ones that required kids in grades 1 through 12 to learn Spanish, also is doing, well, actually it's not just them. Let me go back a little bit with history, Eugene. It's about Christmas, okay? And Christmas, and in fact, if they could change the name of Christmas because it has the word Christ in it, they would do it. But a couple years ago in Eugene, the fire department got pretty riled up because they were told that they can't have a Christmas tree in their fire hall. They had to make it religious neutral or get rid of the tree, and they basically just said, we'll tell you what we can do with that tree. And
I think it should be Chrismica anyway.
Chrismica?
Yeah.
What's a Chrismica?
That's Christmas and Hanukkah together.
Well, that's probably what they're trying to do, because in Ashland, they're not allowed to have a Christmas tree. Any type of ornaments that are on display have to be religious neutral. So, you know, and it has to affect or reflect all religions. So like a Muslim Christmas. Well, okay, I don't...
You can't have religious neutral or Christmas neutral, because if you read the Bible, it says everything, everything somewhere. So anything you say is going to be in the Bible somewhere.
Exactly. Well, the way I look at it, you either are going to, if you're not going to do Christmas, it's either everything or nothing. No Hanukkah, no any other holiday or whatever. But still, anybody that has a problem with Christmas, I think Christmas is on the weekend, but otherwise, anybody has a problem with Christmas, you show up for work on Christmas Day, you get paid regular, you don't get paid holiday pay, and you go right ahead. In the meantime, we'll enjoy time off, a lot of times with pay, except at my job, with our families, celebrating the birth of Christ.
I was always the one that was not married and so consequently worked on Christmas Day to let other people have the time off. So I don't care. Yeah. Christmas Day is just a day.
Well, I just get so, I mean... This time of year, it's Christmas. It's our tradition.
That's right. That's right. It is. And this politically correct crap is, we've got to get over the politically correct thing in every mode, because it's getting very tiresome.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're setting up, I forget what it's called, but there are some schools that are setting up spaces so the Muslims can have a place to pray. We do the Hanukkah thing. We do the Cinco de Mayo. But it's always Christmas, which is the one that is, you know, the hands off. It offends too many people. In fact, the whole reason, according to the article, that Ashland School District is doing this is because one family complained.
Yeah, that's the thing. We do get carried away. You know, everything else in the world, we used to really sort of consider the fact that majority rules, but it's not majority rules anymore. One person, one family can upset everybody, and that's wrong. That's absolutely wrong. If you want to go out and get a petition and get half of the city to sign the petition, then you can make Christmas go away. But until you do that, it ain't going to happen, and it shouldn't be happening. But they're doing it anyway. It's very upsetting.
Yeah, exactly. And
that and the EPA. That's the other one that has to go.
The EPA, exactly. But people are starting to stand up even for that. There was a, and it might have been Ashland too last year, there was a Christmas play where, I can't remember what the song was, but it was a tradition in the play. And because a couple students and one or two family members complained about it, they struck it from the play. But the audience stood up and sang it anyways.
Good.
It's like the Pledge of Allegiance now, which is normally the beginning of a lot of meetings, government meetings. People are starting to stand up now and insisting on saying the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's just we're letting individuals make decisions for all of us, and we're getting back to my point of everything needs to be voted on. Everything needs to be voted on. Take it to the public. Don't let the individual make your decisions for you. And then my other thing that goes along with that, everything should be voted on, and that's a good thing, is that everything should expire. Every bill, every law, every rule should expire after 5 years. Then we can vote on it again if we want to have it continue. That's fine. We can continue it as long as we want to. But you have to have public opinion on it. You have to let the public be a part of the decision. You don't just – of course, that does take the senators and the representatives and both national and regional – out of the picture. We don't need them anymore if the public votes on everything. And that's a consideration comes out of it.
Exactly.
We save a lot of money. Do you realize how much money senators make?
No.
Senators make $175,000 a year each. That's over 100 of them. But they're given $4 million to pay their staff or to work with their staff. The representatives make almost that much money. There's a very little difference in pay, but they're only given $1 million each. But there's 400 of them. That's $400 million to pay their staff. And they spend it. We got to do something to change that.
That's right. You have to hire me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the whole thing that gets me upset is I'm jealous. I'm not getting a part of this. But jealous or not, we need to do some changes in what's going on. See, okay.
You get the door?
I got to get the door.
So what do you do when you're broadcasting live and somebody comes to the door? I guess you either ignore the door and listen to the doorbell, or you go answer the door. And then, depending on who it is, you grab them by the collar and you put them in front of the microphone. But while Cliff is going and getting whoever is at the door. Now, getting back to the religious thing and Christmas, is it's kind of, I don't know, I think we've kind of gone a little bit too far with the PC thing about, on one aspect, you know, you're not going to get rid of Christmas, period. I mean, the kids are looking forward to it. In fact, in some instances, I've heard where some kids who are not Christians actually feel pretty bad because they see all their friends getting Christmas presents and, you know, all the celebrations and everything. But it's one thing, though, folks, to have your heritage. You know, we seem to really praise or embrace everybody else's heritage. I mean, even the schools are having Spanish heritage classes, Muslim Spanish classes, Indian classes, etc. But it seems like it's like the old thing again where you're talking, like the white man per se, the whites being excluded from everybody else because everybody else is more important. Well, Christmas, this is the time of year for Christmas. Whether you like it or not, tough it up.
I'm all for it. That was my Christmas present being delivered, by the way.
Oh, that's right, because you don't have a chimney.
Yeah, that's true. I don't. Come to think of it.
Santa Claus rings twice.
And then falls down the chimney.
And then falls down the chimney.
But anyway, no, that was a check. I'm treating our family to a big screen television. We're getting a new one.
Oh.
The older one is getting pretty sad. So, anyway.
So, wait a minute. We're talking all this time about being poor and you're getting a big screen.
That's because I cashed the retirement fund to do it.
I was going to say, it kind of takes away from the please help us and donate and, you know, adopt us and everything else. And, oh, yeah, we're getting toys.
Well, we saved up all year long. Actually, we saved up, about 7 years to get this. I could have gotten it 3 or 4 years ago, but then the bottom went out of the stock market and it all went away. So I had to wait another 3 or 4 years to build it back up again. So otherwise there wouldn't have been enough there to buy anything. So, anyway, thanks so much for that. I'm sorry about that.
Okay. I'll forgive you. We're only doing a live national podcast.
Yeah.
You know, so don't worry about it. We're fine.
I was going to tell you about that earlier and tell you that it might be interrupted, but if I forgot about it, then
that's okay. It's important. It's a big screen. No, don't worry about such a thing as our show.
Yeah, really.
That's okay.
Well, as I was going to say something about how do we go about, you know, we're talking about not spending, or we're talking about saving money. We got to keep the money in the treasury without charging more taxes, which means we either have to not spend money or take it away from something. And I have the actual answer, and I've had it all along. It's a 10% cut in every government employee's wages. Every government employee's wages. Just 10%. Now, 10%, if you make $40,000 a year, that's not a whole lot of money over the course of a year. And so it wouldn't be too hard to take. Actually, and that would more than enough to solve all of our financial problems for years to come. And it wouldn't be that difficult to do. Nobody can do it, of course, because nobody wants to take a 10% cut. I did hear not too long ago that a lot of government employees are not getting their annual cost of living raise. And even that's going to save a lot of money.
That's true. I want to get one back. I want to stay on the Christmas thing for a second here. And here's a little excerpt of the article. It says, Ashland Public Schools can display a decorated pine tree if it is surrounded by symbols from other religious holidays. But they should not display a Christmas tree alone in order to remain religiously neutral, says the superintendent.
But the Christmas tree is not religious.
Well, I mean, not itself. I mean, the Christmas tree probably could care less except it got cut down.
But the Christmas tree, the symbolism in a Christmas tree is not religious. That's gifts and spending money and commerce and things like that. That has nothing to do with God. God is supposed to be better than that. And so the Christmas tree is not religious. That's absurd, absolutely absurd. Where in the story of Christ being born did we see a tree?
Exactly.
First of all, it was in the desert. It didn't have a tree.
And the Christmas cactus probably just didn't go over too well.
No, it didn't. You can't have camels. You can't have people. You can't have a lot of things. But a Christmas tree is the one thing you should be able to have. And I never saw anything about colored lights either.
Well, the colored lights, I think, reflect the stars or something, and we just got kind of carried away with it, but which is kind of cool because they look neat. But what's interesting is that I was reading this article here, and it says this is actually the same school, by the way, that last year they actually were the ones that had they removed the holiday tree because the family complained that it was a religious symbol, and after dozens of parents and students protested the decision, The same superintendent replaced the tree, adding other winter decorations and allowing students to decorate the tree with symbols from their own religion.
Well, see, now I can understand that. I could handle that. If there's a student in the class that wants to put a specific Christmas or a specific religious symbol on the tree, or cut one out or make one or whatever, I think that would be okay. I wouldn't mind doing that. And then you could have everybody that wants to be involved, and everybody who wants to have a part of it. But unless somebody wants it, no. Just do a regular Christmas tree.
Yeah, exactly. And call it what it is.
A Christmas tree.
It is not a holiday tree.
I suppose we could call it a decorated pine tree.
We could do that, too. But somehow, decorated pine tree, it loses something.
It does, doesn't it?
Must be in the translation. I don't know. But
deck the halls with decorated pine trees. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is a problem there. But it's just ridiculous. It's a politically correct thing in all phases of life, not just with the Christmas tree, but in all phases of life. If someone wants to be recognized, if someone wants to have that position of being seen or whatever, then we need to allow them to do that, you know. If just because it might offend somebody, so the family that says something about wanting a Muslim, Muslim is not represented, then let them represent it. That's fine. Let them go out and get all the Muslims in town and represent themselves. That's fine, too. But don't make everything go away just because you're not getting yours.
Well, and the Supreme Court ruled that it's constitutionally permissible for teachers to teach about religion, but it's impermissible for public schools to observe religious holidays or practice religion. In fact, this is from the same superintendent, certainly teachers in schools need to and are completely allowed to teach about religion. Religion is a factor in our country and the development of our country, and to ignore that would be inappropriate. But we can't have anything that promotes a particular religion. We need to be neutral, and we need to be inclusive.
Yeah, well, that's really hard, because there's so many religions out there. How do you include all of them? It's really difficult, and we don't even understand. You know, how can we expect one poor teacher to understand all of them, for that matter? So that's really hard to do. I understand it's difficult. I wouldn't be able to do that.
Exactly. And again, too, here, further down the article, says students may sing or perform religious songs or plays in a school assembly as long as the program includes numbers from different religious practices and secular sources.
But then you wouldn't be able to do anything else.
Precisely.
There's so many of them. I mean, how do you do that? First of all, a lot of them are in other languages, and you'd have to teach.
Okay, how do you do the 12 days of Christmas and mix religions into that?
Well, you don't do that. You do the 12 days of Christmas, and then you do something for Hanukkah and something, you know, each one has its own. The 12 days of Christmas is secular, I think, more than anything else. Yes, has nothing to do with religion. It has to do with gluttonism.
So what's the answer? You just kind of, in the schools, you just totally ignore it? Is it another day?
No, I think you should just leave it alone and let them do whatever they want to. Let the students decide what they want to do. But you should give them a vote, I guess. Like, they could just as easily do that. But let the students decide. If there's somebody there, any other religion, I can't think of any other religions except Muslim now, because we've been speaking about that for everything. But if there's any other religion there, let them make a decision of what they would like to include in whatever presentation they're doing. If you're doing a play, include it in there somehow or another. If singing carols, include one of them. You don't have to include their religion in your carol or your carol in their religion. but everybody should get a chance to be a part of it.
Oh, I agree so wholeheartedly.
We do everything else that way. We there's no reason why students couldn't vote on things like that. We have other things. We actually, if we'd listen more, I think to some of the students, we'd do better off. Even in our national elections and things, we'd be better off. Granted, we probably would want them to be in junior high or higher because they'd know more about it. But we don't pay attention to students. I would like to interview students and find out what their opinion is of things because it's somewhat different than adults. And more informed.
Well, here's an idea. Why don't we put out a call? I know. How about on an internet radio talk show for people to call in and express that view? They could call like 646-721-9887.
And we'd just be happy to collect that call.
Exactly.
It's liable to get to us. That would be neat. Yes, and I would like, I'd love to have students, high school students or junior high school students even call. As a matter of fact, I've worked with children for quite a while, and I've sat down with 10-year-olds and had very intelligent conversations at times. At other times you don't, but it can happen. So I'd love to hear from anybody that wants to talk.
Exactly. Or send us an email, you know. Contact us.
Anyway, tell us anything. If you like Christmas, let us know. If you don't like Christmas, let us know. You know, there are a lot of people who just don't like the holiday at all. Either one of the holidays, Thanksgiving or Christmas, are a real problem in some families because, especially if you get the whole family together, sometimes that's not good. And
Ari, if you don't have family, that's why suicides are the highest during those holidays.
Well, okay, I guess it is. I don't know if it's because you don't have family, and maybe because you do. But, people do have a tendency to feel left out at times, and that can be a real problem. Suicide is another story entirely, and one of the things that I think we need to look into is speaking of suicide and speaking of children, is we need to look about the underage, yes, suicides. I think they're astronomically high and frighteningly high, and nobody pays any attention.
Wait a minute, you have to be a certain age before you can commit suicide?
No, it's just that the kids that are underage, and I mean under 21, there are significantly more of them committing suicide than there is in the general population. And there's lots of reasons, bullying not the least.
Well, yeah, I mean, just, I think things are a little tougher. I mean, on kids today, when you and I growing up, I mean, I remember, like, getting back to Christmas. I mean, I remember tons of shows about Charlie Brown, you know, Save Christmas and everything, which I never gave too much attention to because I never thought Christmas would ever be in danger. Welcome to the 20s.
Yeah, really.
But there's a lot of PC stress on kids, I think. So many more restrictions. You know, you can't. It's getting to the point that a kid can't walk down the street without wearing a helmet because he might fall and hurt himself.
Well, you know, I don't think it's any worse than it was when I was growing up or you were growing up. I think we're looking at different things. But when I was growing up, I mean, I was taunted and teased, and because I was all my life, I've been overweight. And but I don't think we're being taught by our parents what to do about it, and we're obviously not being taught by the schools what to do about it, or at least not correctly. And the thing is, the parents nowadays are not doing anything for the kids. They're not teaching anything for the kids. What was it I heard the other day? the statistic that the average parent spends only 10 minutes a day with their kids.
Well, I believe that.
You've got to be kidding.
Well, take a poll out there. How many of you people that listen to the show, and go ahead and send a comment on the comment section, kind of let's do this little poll. When I was growing up, we sat down as a family at the dinner table at dinner time.
Yeah.
How many people today in the 21st century actually do that with their families?
Not very many. Not very many, I don't think. Now, you know, even, however, sitting down to, I didn't, in a couple of instances, have a house where I could have a table for everybody to sit down, but we sat down with TV trays and turned the TV down and talked. We didn't do that on purpose, but we almost always ended up, if we were all in together in a room, talking to each other. We don't do that anymore. Nobody talks to each other. Nobody, well, kids talk to kids and adults talk to adults, but that's about where it is.
Yeah.
We've got to get the adults to interact with children more, even if it's just watching television and talking about how stupid the television show is. It's talking. And, you know, as far as everybody says, well, I'm so busy, I have two jobs, I can't possibly spend time for my kids, then you should be shot or something, because you had the kids. You committed to that, and you did it quite on purpose. You can't tell me the kids came totally unexpectedly. So,
well, they don't talk anymore. They text from across the room.
I don't care. That's fine. I don't even mind them texting. That's okay, as long as they communicate with each other. The only problem with texting is it's communicating with five words or less, and that's sometimes hard. But, of course, with their abbreviations and things nowadays.
OMG.
Any kind of communications. But so many parents just don't communicate with their kids. And it's not that hard to do. I've had foster kids, and I found it fairly easy to do. It's where most people wouldn't. I mean, so what? It's no big thing. I was in a job where I could take kids to work with me sometimes, and that was beneficial. But you spend time with the kids. It's an imperative thing. And because we're not spending time with the kids, we're having kids with lots more problems. That's where our politically correct thing is coming in and not working.
Oh, I agree. Anyway, 3 minutes left in the show. You still have time for a quick phone call, 646-721-9887. Next week, we should be back at our normal time, which is Friday mornings, 10 a.m. Pacific. After the first, well, we'll see what happens in January when the, actually it's February 1st when the new Blog Talk Radio
goes into effect.
And also, I'm changing my days again next year. So we may be broadcasting on a different day again. Unless a lot of people give us lots of money and we can support ourselves on this, in which case we'll be on a lot more often.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if you give us enough money, we'll be on every day.
That's
what the heck? We can do that.
Exactly.
One way or another.
But let us know what you think. And I still think that, again, just a final comment on the Blog Talk Radio, jumping from free to $40. For doing a show like what we do, you know, 1 hour a week, and we do have this little half-hour show called Life Is, that's a pretty big jump for the amount of time that we get. And there's a lot of time that's put into these shows. I mean, like that clip this morning that I put together, that was about 3 hours putting that clip together for a minute and a half of audio. But it's all worth it. It's fun to do. But, you know, like I say, we don't make any money for putting the time in for all this, but that's why.
It's devotion, really, devotion to radio. That's
devotion,
it
and that's why it really encourages us. You know, if you go ahead and click on the like button, or, you know, add us as
friends. Call us.
Or call us too, but let us know you appreciate the show, and maybe we can at that point come up with some money to keep doing it. So.
Really. Anyway, we're out of time. My golly, it's amazing how fast time goes.
It is. Send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com, and visit our Facebook page. Tell us you like us.
Or don't like us. It doesn't make any difference. Is there a way on there to tell us that you don't like us?
Yeah, you can thumbs up us and thumb down us.
There you go. See, you can give us all kinds of information easily.
Click and take it. Until next week.
Have a good one. Bye.
If you like today's show, please let us know by visiting us on Facebook and clicking on the like button. You can also get show updates on Twitter and on our website at www.krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.